Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you've pressed play because in the next 10 minutes, we're going to cover everything you need to know about the core reading and writing skills tested in your GCSE English language exam. Whether you're just starting your revision or you're doing a final check the night before, this episode is packed with exactly what you need. GCSE English language is all about skills. Unlike English literature, there are no set texts to memorize. Instead, you'll be given unseen passages on the day and asked to read, analyze, write, and evaluate. That means the skills you practice now will directly translate into marks in the exam hall. So let's get into it. Let's start with reading skills because these are the foundation of paper 1 and paper 2. The first skill is identifying and interpreting information. Some information in a text is explicit, it's stated directly. For example, the house was old and crumbling, you can see it right there. But some information is implicit, it's suggested or implied. The writer doesn't say it outright, you have to read between the lines. For instance, if a character keeps checking the clock and avoiding eye contact, the writer is implying they're nervous or hiding something. In the exam, questions that ask you to identify or list want explicit information. Questions that ask you to infer or interpret want you to go deeper and explain what is suggested. The second big reading skill is analyzing language. This is where so many marks are available and where so many candidates lose them by simply naming a technique without explaining its effect. Let me say that again because it's crucial. Naming the technique is not enough. You must explain what effect it has on the reader. Here are the key language features you need to know. A metaphor is a direct comparison that says one thing is another. The city was a jungle. A simile makes a comparison using like or as, she moved like a shadow. Personification gives human qualities to non-human things. The wind howled in protest. Pathetic fallacy is a specific type of personification where the weather or environment reflects a character's emotions. A storm during a moment of anger, for example. Alliteration is the repetition of the same consonant sound at the start of words, which creates rhythm and draws attention. Sibilance is the repetition of soft S sounds, which can create a hushed, sinister, or soothing mood. Juxtaposition places two contrasting ideas side by side to highlight the difference between them. And hyperbole is deliberate exaggeration for effect. I've told you a million times. When you write about any of these, use this structure. Name the technique, quote it briefly, then explain the effect on the reader. Try to use words like suggests, implies, creates a sense of, makes the reader feel, or positions the reader to. These are the kinds of phrases that push you into the higher levels of the mark scheme. Now let's talk about analyzing structure. Structure questions often trip candidates up because they're not sure what to write about. Structure is about how the text is organized, not what it says, but how it's built. Think about, where does the text start and end? Does it use a cyclical structure, returning to the opening image? Are there shifts in focus, from wide to close, from past to present, from one character to another? Does the writer use short, punchy sentences to create pace and tension, then slow down with longer, more complex sentences for reflection? Does the narrative perspective change? All of these are structural choices, and they're all worth analyzing. The third reading skill is evaluating texts critically. Evaluation questions ask for your opinion. You might be asked, how effectively does the writer create tension? Or, to what extent do you agree that the writer presents the character sympathetically? The key here is to form a clear viewpoint and support it with evidence. Don't just describe what happens, judge how well the writer achieves their effect. Use phrases like, the writer is particularly effective when, or this is convincing because, and always back up your opinion with a quotation. The fourth reading skill, which appears mainly on paper 2, is comparing writers' viewpoints. When comparing two texts, you need to identify what each writer thinks or believes about a topic, then compare how they express those viewpoints through their language and structural choices. Don't just write about one text and then the other, that's a block structure and it limits your marks. Instead, use a point-by-point structure. Make a point about text A, then immediately compare it to text B. Use comparison connectives like whereas, in contrast, similarly, both writers, and unlike. Now let's move on to writing skills. There are two types of writing in GCSE English language, creative writing and transactional writing. For creative writing, the most important thing to remember is show, don't tell. Instead of writing she was scared, show the reader her fear through physical details. Her hands trembled as she reached for the door handle, her breath coming in short, shallow bursts. Use all five senses to make your writing vivid and immersive. Vary your sentence structures deliberately, a short sentence, for impact, then a longer, more flowing sentence that builds atmosphere and draws the reader deeper into the scene. Your opening should hook the reader immediately. Start in the middle of the action, or with a striking image, or with an intriguing question. And your ending should feel satisfying, whether that means resolving the tension, returning to your opening image, or leaving the reader with something to think about. For transactional writing, letters, articles, speeches, leaflets, remember the acronym AFOREST, alliteration, facts, opinions, rhetorical questions, emotive language, statistics, and triples, or the rule of three. But don't just throw all of these in randomly. Think about your purpose, your audience, and your form, PAF, and choose techniques that suit them. A formal letter to a head teacher needs a very different register from a persuasive article for a teen magazine. Finally, technical accuracy, spelling, punctuation, and grammar is worth marks in its own right. Examiners reward ambitious punctuation, semicolons to link related ideas, colons to introduce a list or explanation, dashes for dramatic effect or parenthetical asides, and commas to create rhythm and clarity. Aim to use a range of sentence structures and paragraphs with clear topic sentences and discourse markers like furthermore, however, in contrast, and as a result, right? Let's talk about the mistakes that cost candidates marks every single year. Mistake number one, feature spotting. This is when a candidate writes something like, the writer uses a metaphor. Full stop, no quotation, no analysis, no effect. This earns very few marks. You must always explain the effect. Ask yourself, so what? Why did the writer choose this? What does it make the reader think or feel? Mistake number two, not embedding quotations. A quotation should sit naturally inside your sentence, not be dropped in like a lump. Compare these two. The writer says, the darkness swallowed him whole. This is a metaphor. Versus the writer's metaphor that the darkness swallowed him whole creates a sense of helplessness, suggesting the character has been consumed by his fear. The second version is embedded, and it's far more analytical. Mistake number three, retelling the story. In a reading question, you are not being asked what happens. You are being asked how the writer creates effects. Keep your focus on the writer's choices and their impact on the reader. Mistake number four, writing without planning. For the longer writing tasks, especially the 24-mark or 40-mark questions, spend 5 minutes planning. Decide on your structure, your key techniques, and your ending before you start writing. Candidates who plan almost always produce better organized, more coherent responses. Mistake number five, forgetting to proofread. Leave 2 or 3 minutes at the end to read back through your writing. Catch any obvious spelling errors, missing punctuation, or sentences that don't make sense. Those small fixes can make the difference between mark bands. One more tip, pay close attention to command words. Identify means find and list. Brief answers are fine. How does the writer use language means name, quote, and analyze effect. Evaluate means give your opinion with evidence. Compare means look at both texts together, not separately. Getting this right is the difference between answering the question and missing the point entirely. Time for a quick quiz. I'll ask the question, then give you a few seconds to think before I give the answer. Ready? Question one, what does PEEL stand for? Point, evidence, analysis, link. Question two, name three language features you could analyze in a reading question. Any three from metaphor, simile, personification, pathetic fallacy, alliteration, sibilance, juxtaposition, hyperbole. Question three, what does AFOREST stand for? Alliteration, facts, opinions, rhetorical questions, emotive language, statistics, triples. Question four, what is the difference between explicit and implicit information? Explicit is stated directly. Implicit is suggested or implied. Question five, what is pathetic fallacy? when the weather or environment reflects a character's emotions, how did you do? If you got all five, brilliant, you're in great shape. If you missed any, go back and review that section. Let's wrap up with the key takeaways from today. Reading skills, always go beyond identifying features. Analyze the effect on the reader. Use Peel for every analytical paragraph. For structure questions, think about how the text is organized, not just what it says. For evaluation, form a clear viewpoint and back it up with evidence. For comparison, use a point-by-point structure with comparison connectives. Writing skills, show, don't tell. Use a forest for transactional writing. Always consider purpose, audience, and form. Use ambitious punctuation, plan before you write, and proofread at the end. And the golden rule for the whole exam, every answer should be about the writer's choices and their effect on the reader. Keep asking yourself, why did the writer choose this? What does it make me think or feel? You've got this. Keep practicing with unseen texts, time yourself under exam conditions, and use the mark scheme to check your own work. The more you practice, the more natural these skills will feel. Good luck in your exam. I'll be rooting for you. Until next time.